Welcome back, everyone, to The Real Connection. I'm Dave McCall. I'm here with my co-host, Sean Santoro. Say hi, Sean.
Hello.
And we are lucky to have with us today Mike Doopie. He owns DS Electric. Mike has been in the industry for how many years now, Mike?
Just for my own business, 13 overall, I think since the age of 18. So I'm about 22 years in.
So you're an experienced man when it comes to electric renovations and things like that. With the current market, and of course houses being as expensive as they are, a lot of people are either looking to fix up homes, you know, to sell, or they're, you know, looking to keep their homes in decent shape because they can't afford the new prices. Can you talk a little bit about what you're seeing in the market right now and kind of where your business has gone? Is it really exploded? Is it just gone up mildly?
Well, for us, it's been a little bit of a wild 2 years ever since we hit kind of the recession that we're in right now. I feel like that's where we're in. Most months between like January to about April, nothing. Everyone's so slow. I'm seeing a lot of my electrical contractor friends close down shop. They just don't have it anymore. It's hard to keep employees intact. It's hard to pay for everything, and everything's so expensive. And
like, absolutely,
like many things, people are starting to take it on themselves and save costs. That's part of the one reason that I find is quite a significant change. I find for my business, we've been involved for 13 years, done very well. And I'm hoping what we do for the community, which shines throughout our community, it says, hey, look, we're something to hire to give back.
Now, here's a question. We've talked a little bit about this, but when people are looking to, you know, renovate their homes, everybody's looking to save a buck. As you said, everything's so expensive. You know, the price of materials have gone up, the price of, well, God, everything's gone up. So some people, I'm sure, want to try and do things on their own. And, you know, try and save a few extra dollars there. Electrical is not some place where you really want to work it on your own unless you really know what you're doing. So can you tell us a few stories, both positive and you know, and I'll say the word negative.
I was like, all right, here it comes. I almost had one earlier. I was going to say he's got more than just blood flowing through his veins. He's got current going through his veins.
So, yeah, basically, you know, a couple of stories there that you've run into. I told you one myself in my home, 17 junction boxes in one room. You must see some crazy stuff.
We see, honestly, so far, some of the most common ones that they're simple, but they're common, but they're annoying is the over-the-counter microwave, like the microwave slash exhaust fan that you buy. A lot of people think you just pull the wire out of the old one, put it up in the cabinet, and slap that microwave off. It's never long enough. There's always a hinge junction box behind that microwave every single time. When something goes wrong, that's the first place we look besides the actual plug. It's a simple one, but basic. But some of the things we've seen, wow, I've seen not to knock on our trades, but some plumbers, they're a little rough. When they put that plastic pipe up, they disconnect the ground wire from the main house, or the homeowner does because they want to do their own plumbing, and you actually will see burn marks of a place not having proper grounding. You'll see the color.
Oh, wow.
The 6-gauge wire start burning up. We've seen that on a house once. The back feed on that was ridiculous. That was the first time I actually seen wood start to burn up from a wire, from a ground wire.
Right.
Some other amount of story, they said multiple boxes is very common.
Now, what about some of the older homes that still have the knob and tube in them? Do you run into that frequently, or?
It's getting less and less, I'm finding. We might get the odd house, maybe 4 houses a year. When I first started my business, that's actually how I started my business. I was doing 3 houses a month, and for months and months, because it was ridiculous how much was out there. Now, since there's been a lot of new trades, a lot of new contractors, they've all taken it on their own to try test it out and do the work as well. But we still are probably one of the leading electricians to do these jobs.
Now, I know there's probably, you've seen this a lot. I know I have just, and again, I'm not even an electrician, but I recognize it. I'm like, yeah, that doesn't seem right. Is people just using the wrong size wire for specific current lines, right? Like, I'm sure you're probably seeing things like these. Like, I think of the microwave, for example. Does it always need its own dedicated line to the microwave, or it's just, you know, kind of a good thing to do?
Oh, it definitely needs its own line. These microwaves might be efficient, but as soon as something starts twerking and they start working improperly, the amperage starts jacking up. If you that's tied into another circuit, I guarantee you it's going to trip. Especially, you know, same thing with those little heaters you plug in that you kind of had a little earlier. Those things are beautiful current. Yeah, those things. Oh, they're a nightmare.
Well, this is just the first one. The other three over there on that circuit, that's working just fine. Like, oh, this is a problem?
No.
Where's my big glass of water?
My favorite is I'm on side with the landlord, and they complain that, there's not enough power. It keeps tripping. We go in there. That is the first thing we look for in the wintertime. How many of those things are plugged in? And they don't
draw that much power.
Oh, yes, they do.
I know. I know they do, but they're tiny. They can't pull that much.
Oh, yes. They're just, they pull in about 7 to 12 amps all day long, some more. Yeah, even the small ones pull in a lot of amperage.
Now, how many houses do you see? And I don't know if there's a ratio, so because this is not my area. But with the industry, the way it is, the houses, the price of houses and everything else, are you seeing an increase in more people working on their own homes, trying to keep their own homes in shape? Or are you, for your business, are you seeing more people trying to get things fixed up to sell?
Well, from what I understand, what I'm seeing a lot is not only are we seeing the handymans come back or the side job electricians more often, and we're seeing, before we used to see the odd side job guy, don't get me wrong, I was there too. We all start off this way. But they come in and they may not know the new codes and all that. They do it safely enough, which is annoyingly fine. But then they're getting very testy. So they'll call us in and do the panel job, and then they'll have their friends do the outside branch wiring. Well, we have to call a permit. We have the inspectors. Everybody comes in, and then the inspector looks at us and says, well, who did all of this work? And we just sit there with our hands up in the air like it wasn't us. And then the owners get in trouble. They get a little fine or they get a little warning to hire a licensed contractor. And then we have to go in and try and fix all that work. But then the homeowner's like, well, I spent $1,200 on this guy. And we come in with a $2,600 cost because we have to fix his work. Because
you got
to do it right, get a permit, get it checked.
That's one thing. People are always, they're trying to save money. Which is great. I mean, we all want to keep money in our pocket. You know, as I said, and I'll keep saying it, things have gotten expensive. So we all want to keep money in our pocket. But I have found over the years, I am not a handy person. Okay, me and my toolbox have a deal. You know, I leave it alone. It leaves me alone. We're all good. I call in the professionals. But for those who don't, you know, and try and do the work themselves or to try hire inexperienced people to do work, it almost inevitably costs more. It does. And you know, for the people who are, you know, trying to keep their homes in decent shape and you want to keep them, you know, for a few more years, and especially if it's an older home, you know, when we bought my home, it's a smaller older home. It had knob and tube in it.
Yep.
Which is why I asked. You know, and you're seeing this now. People are I guess I'm going to get back to my original question here is when people are selling the homes that they've got to upgrade to newer homes, are they calling you like business-wise? Is the industry getting more work for the newer homes, or is it all the older homes just trying to keep up?
Right now I'm finding like it wasn't like we had the big boom where that was great and we had everyone had money, they refinance or get big money for their housing. Now we're in a different situation where we're not getting the big money for our houses. The flippers are dying right now, they're dying out. They're putting next to nothing in. So this is where you're seeing when people buy these houses that look more renovated, it's actually shoddier work. It's a lot worse. Now
the lipstick on a pig situation, they say.
It really is. And we had this back in 2013, 2017, there wasn't a big boom, so there wasn't much money. Most people try to think they can invest maybe $20,000 to revamp a new house or an old beat up house, right? 20 to maybe 40,000. It's unrealistic. So shortcuts are taken now.
Wait a minute. I've watched a couple of those shows. I could do that.
What are you talking about? YouTube showed me how, man.
TikTok. YouTube's too long.
TikTok. Yeah, come on. It's less ads on TikTok.
There you go.
Yeah. But we are getting less and less involvement now with, I used to have a bunch of real estate agents that used to call us all the time when they're selling. I'm not getting that anymore. I may get 3 to 5 calls a year from an old realtors call me up. And most of the time, that's just advice, or they want insurance letters, and then it goes from there. So big difference from the buying and selling scheme all around. Even for myself, who has properties, I stopped buying and flipping because the properties are not worth it right now. I'm not going to buy a house that's probably worth 200 to 300,000, throw 50, 60,000 into it. It might sell for less than 400,000. And with the new tax hikes being gouged at 100% of capital gains, and you can't float that very well anymore.
Right, right.
There's not much margin to do it.
That's one of the topics that I did want to touch on, because knowing that you do own some properties, and the rental situation in North America in general, but I know in Windsor, where we're located at, the rental rate here, I think is 2% or something like ungodly low like that. When people are fixing things up to rent, are you getting called in, and how unsafe are some of these things? I was talking to somebody who rented a place, and it was a horror show. The heating, the wiring, the plumbing. I mean, it looked like a 4-year-old had gone in to fix the place up. What are you seeing from your end on the rental side?
It's incredibly scary now. It's not like we used to go around, it's dirty here. You see the odd dog. We go with properties now, the whole bedroom's full of dog pee and shit and everything. They have a room completely for that disgusting, because they don't want to put them outside and clean it up, or they don't have a place to bring them. We've done stuff like the homeless is huge in this city right now, unfortunately. And once they get in, they destroy. They only need to get in their house. I have one property, same issue. I had to build a fence up to keep them out of it. They would walk up to the backyard of the property and do their business, and I had to get them out. That is a huge thing when purchasing now, is where's a homeless sitting? They steal everything we put in. Everything you invest in, they'll come in, break in, steal it every single night. So I'm finding now with people, it's a lot of security cameras, ones that you can interact and talk with. Those are becoming more and more popular with a lot of landlords. And when we go and do work for tenants, the landlords do not want to pay whatsoever. And it's a big fight right now with everything.
So now, with Windsor, as you said, the homeless situation is without doubt. It's bad. It's bad in a lot of cities. It's not just Windsor. It's bad, right across the country. It's bad in the state. It's just generally bad everywhere because of the cost of things right now, and the lack of mental health, assistance, is just ridiculous. But when it comes to people, like some of the people that you get calls from, what is the, I guess I'm asking for the, what is a worst scenario that you've seen? I mean, like the one that really said to you, like, oh my God.
Oh, there's no hope for humanity, that kind of situation.
There is two. Okay. I'll go.
perfect.
These, I will, no, three, sorry, three. I'll tell you three.
Going up.
I'll keep them quick, but I will never forget these. These were horrifying. First one, I had to go in, and the landlord brought me into the apartment building, and she said, you have to wait here because it's booby-trapped. And so she opens the door. She pulls the canister off from the door because it had a string to it. And if it falls, a harpoon or like a crossbow would shoot at us.
Are you kidding?
No, that was one incident. It's because the guy was producing.
Oh, that's an Oh My God incident. That's the look right there, Sean.
Yeah, that was the, yeah. I mean, he was a drug, you know, it was a drug place, right? Like, and they finally got him out, but he would keep getting back in, booby trapping it and doing his thing. So that was one. We had another one that was a student, and he had a problem of playing with himself a little too much, and the entire place is full of feces.
Oh, no.
That was horrible. And then we had to check all the plugs where we're full of this as well. And yeah, that was a bad one. And my third favorite, which I tell all my apprentices, we had to go underneath the deck once, but all my entire 15 people team refused the job. Because underneath this deck, we had to pull a wire through to fire up underneath to get to another spot. There was a dead dog, three dead cats, a dead possum, dead squirrels. There was dead rats. It reeked and smelled, and everything was dead animal compost underneath that thing.
Holy.
Did like everybody just went there to die or something?
It was, and the guy who bought it, you know, never checked underneath there. He just bought the property, was rewiring it.
Right.
Yeah.
And he didn't know, like, smell the smell that you guys did?
He just left it as like, oh, there's something underneath there. Must be one thing.
Oh, God, yeah.
It was everything.
Turns out it's a cemetery.
It's a cemetery.
It was the grossest thing I've ever seen.
Now, how do your employees, you know, being a business owner, how do your employees handle some of the situations you come into? And the other question I've got, and this is one I get all the time, you know, through my network, is do you have trouble getting and holding on to people? So it's a two-part question.
Holding on as in like keeping a customer?
No. Keeping the employees. A lot of businesses I'm talking to are having trouble holding on to employees. Now, I guess the question's two-part. It's like you run into situations like you're saying with the, you know, with the dead animals and whatever else. How do the employees take this type of thing? Are they obviously for that when you said nobody wanted to go in? But
I have to go in.
That's you.
That's
you.
When the extreme is extreme, I'm the guy. All the bosses, I hope, well, it's definitely me, I step up. But my background of extreme sports and activities, I'm not afraid of really too much.
Sure.
I do love it.
And we'll talk about that sometime, too, because you're just amazing with all the stuff that you do. But now, when it comes to finding good employees and retaining them, in your industry, at least I'll speak for your company, is that an issue with you, or do you find that, you know, you can hang on to people really well?
Actually, it's the pandemic with this situation is it's I have some really amazing employees. It's taken me a long time. A lot of I find it sounds kind of bad, but I say it many things. A lot of men in our trade are all about just the money. They don't care about anything else but money, which makes it impossible to keep a electrician employee. Very difficult. My team is different. You know, I got to a point where I pay very well. We have benefits, all of that. But I got a little more in depth. We're more family oriented. What that means is not just, hey, you know, we know each other's family. No. If I find that my guys are struggling and they pull me aside, okay, I come in and crack out the wallet. I'll pay for that $5,000 mechanic bill. I'll be the second co-owner of your house if you can't get that house on your own. I'm that guy. So, I mean, a lot of times, you know, your battery breaks and start freaking out and you can't get somewhere. We come pick you up, bring you to work. I send someone in. Your vehicle's fixed, done, and you don't pay a cent. I don't backcharge you. I don't do anything. This is what it means to take care of your team.
That's amazing. Because to be honest, no, I don't hear of many companies. There are a few, but there's not many that I've heard of who actually, you know, usually they're larger companies who take care of their people like that. So, I mean, kudos to you for that. That's being, you know, a caring boss. That's being, you know, somebody who actually shows their, and see, that's what people will respond to. When employees know that the, you know, bosses or the owners or whatever actually see them as people and care about them.
Yeah.
You know, the money is nice. We all need it to pay our bills, you know. But when you're respected, you know, when you are treated like a human being and when you are, you know, treated, you know, well as an individual, I think that is, for some people, worth as much, if not more, than the money.
Sometimes, too, like I find with my, one thing I really preach about my team, one, I allow them to defend themselves in every situation. And they collect money for me. They take care of the customers are rough now. I let them fight all the battles because they know all the information on the beat on everything that's been going on. A lot of people and customers play tricks and try to make me the middleman and lie and cheat and steal everything off us. My employees are here to take care of me, so I take care of them. So when it comes to a battle between me and a customer, they're right next to me or they take care of themselves. Even to the point where if they say, Mike, I just don't like the guy anymore. He's not paying us. Okay, go in and cut everything out. I don't care. We got to a point where my rental property subsidizes their wages because instead of just extra income, these people helped me the most build up to that. So I made a plan that I don't care about people's money. I care about the respect that they give us. And that's changed the dynamic of VS Electric.
Well, see, and I think that's really, you know, really something that I think a lot of people need to take to heart. You know, there's a friend of mine, he had a renovation company. He got out of the industry simply because of what you were talking about. He kept getting, you know, people weren't paying their bills. People were ripping him off. He would quote a job. And then while he was there, they would say, well, can you do this for me? Can you do that? Can you do this? And they kept adding things. And when he came up at the end, you know, and said, okay, here's your bill. They'd say, well, you quoted this much. But yes, but I did these five or six other things.
Yes.
You know, and some people just simply refused to pay for it or refused to pay the bill completely. There was a couple of commercial companies who had him do work and just stiffed him completely. This is unfortunately part of the industry. This is part of a lot of industries, unfortunately. And it can wear on the owners and the employees, especially when you've got to deal with these individuals, you know, on an ongoing basis. I don't want to make this sound to people out who are listening and seeing this, that this is, you know, rampant and everybody's doing this. What percentage, just so that people can get a good feel for this, would you say of your industry caused that kind of situation?
Well, from past experiences, I used to average reviews between 10 to 40,000 a year. People would just not pay us. And that's something I bank on every year and how I do my sales. So a percentage of people out there now, more than ever, it's definitely up to about, I'd say, 30% of my business that people try to do this, if not more. Very rarely do we get tips, which is always appreciated, especially as electricians, it doesn't happen, right? So, and my guys keep all that money, and I make sure they do. That's their money. But I mean, like, we do it, honestly, I have, usually within the first, we call it January. January's the rough month. Everybody does it to us.
Right after Christmas.
Oh, it's ridiculous, guys. I'm not even kidding you. We got to the point where I got rough, and we did a lot of homework of what we can and can't do. And, you know, you can legally now go into a person's property and take all your stuff out. You know, people think it's trespassing and all that other garbage. It's not anymore. We've already proven it. We've had the cops with us. We've had them, you know, the best I ever had, another story, sorry, real quick one. We had a lady didn't pay. We put about $4,000 into her house. We went to collect. She tried to play games with us. Cheryl came in. She pushed Cheryl or tried to push her out the door. Wasn't happening. She called the police right in front of her. Told her BS story. We got on, told our story. Cops like, this is not emergency. Go ahead and tear it all out. That was the best call.
Well, and you know,
vindication.
It's unfortunate that it happens. I mean, and it does. It happens in a lot of industries. I was in the moving industry for a few years, and you know, we had people doing the same thing. You know, I don't. It's rampant. It is. And I mean, I understand that things are getting harder, and people are trying to, you know, hold on to your money. But when you have a good, honest company like yours, that's trying to do, you know, good quality work, and you know, we're not trying to rip you off. We're giving you a fair price, and we're doing good work for the money and everything else. And then when that turns around and happens, you know, it can be quite disheartening for a business owner. Absolutely.
It really does. And one thing I had to realize is I definitely took myself out of the picture. When the business owner is there all the time working and he works for himself, and he does his own thing. That's when it wears on you most because their customers are usually there. They're on your case all the time. Oh, you're doing this really well. Can I get a discount because you paid earlier? Can you add this? Can you do this? And as a business owner, you try to make them feel happy.
Sure.
But if you take yourself out and trust more in your employee, put more on them, they'll appreciate it more because they're allowed to defend themselves and defend the company. And it's just like you trying to negotiate with the teller at Walmart. You ain't getting anywhere.
Right. Well, and you shouldn't. I mean, if you come into my home and say, okay, I can do this work for this much, and I agree to it, you know, we've got a contract here, both verbal and hopefully written. You know, to turn around and try and, you know, renege on that or try, you know, and there's so many games people try and play, you know, you didn't do this, you didn't do this, you said this, you didn't say that. It's almost like you have to have a video camera with you while you're having the conversation. It has gotten bad. Do you
That's why
see, you
a text message is your best friend.
Yes.
Bingo.
Yes.
Bingo,
Leave it
bingo.
loud and clear.
Well, there's a lady I know who runs a magazine, and whenever you want to contact her, it always has to be through email. Phone calls, no. You know, Facebook or social media, no. It's always send me an email and I'll respond, because she's had a lot of problems and wants to make sure she has that email chain trail. You know, and it's an unfortunate part of business. Unfortunately, it is part of business. You know, it's not going to go away. It's in every industry. You know,
Mike, I got a question for you. Sorry,
go
Dave.
ahead. Yeah,
Good
no.
joke.
Hey, you know me, if you don't cut me off, I'll keep talking.
So in terms of like new blood to your guys' industry, getting new people in, if you had to guess, again, you know how much electricians are needed much more than I. If you picked a number tomorrow and said we need this many more electricians, just let's say in Windsor.
We don't.
You
I've
don't
heard
need any more.
no. No.
Okay.
No.
That's interesting to know.
What we keep hearing about we need more trades, we
We need
need
more
more
trades.
trades,
Like
we need
we hear
more
it
trades.
often.
Yeah.
Right? You hear it all the time. We need more trades. No, we don't. Know what the part is, and from what I see, it's if I want to expand my business, grow more, to do bigger jobs or larger stuff, I have to hire a journeyman. With a journeyman, I can hire one apprentice. You know what everyone's doing right now? Every single journeyman in the city is becoming a contractor. So now that we're over flooded with electrical contractors in Windsor, Ontario, and Windsor and Essex County, we're very comparable to the amount Toronto has. It's ridiculous.
Oh, wow.
So with that, and we even have in Toronto come here with their guys. And it's not because we need more. We don't need more. We need a regulation that states that, okay, only a certain amount of contractors allowed in the city. Because for me to hire now an electrician, I'm up to $90 an hour because he's a contractor.
So sorry, and
Right.
this is just because I don't understand. So, I recognize. Let's say I'm going to be an electrician. They're going to go to school, whatever the school is. I'm sure you could do it many different places. You go and you pass for however long it is, 3 months, 6 months, a year, it doesn't matter. You pass that, now you're qualified as a what? Now you can be somebody's apprentice?
After you finish your schooling for electrical, you are considered to be an electrician after you find out you get your final exam after 5 years. Then you
Okay.
wait 2 more years, you get your master's. Now, a kid with 7 years experience is trying to play the electrical game and jump again. And yes, they're going to make mistakes and they'll learn and they'll come in cheap, which ruins the market again. but he can't expand. We're all pulling out favors from all our electrical buddies to help out. I mean, I'm lucky. I have 7 employees right now. And I literally have 15 affiliate electrical contractors who are sole proprietors, one-man shops who borrow my guys. Because these guys don't want to invest in hiring apprentices because they don't have the work for full-time work for apprentices. So we all jump around. And that's how the game works now. Do we need one? No.
So an apprentice is classified as what then? Somebody that isn't a master. So they're still in that 5-year period, but past their course?
No. Electrician is the one who passes the course. Apprentice is one who's still in that 5-year course. So you have to get their 9,000 working hours.
That's gotcha. Okay. That's where I lost you. All right. So you need to go take the course and have 9,000 working hours. In that period, you're an apprentice.
Yeah.
At what point do you become a journeyman?
After the 9,000 hours, you can apply for your exam. As long as everything's all kosher, you write your exam, pass. Now you're considered a licensed journeyman.
Gotcha. And then two more years, and that's when you're a master electrician. Gotcha. Yeah. So you're starting school. You are an apprentice. You can be working somewhere, getting your 9,000 hours while you're doing school. Yep. Then once you cross to a level that, you know, you've passed it, you've got the hours in, now you can be a journeyman electrician.
Yep.
And then you do a couple more. Now you're a master electrician.
Yes.
Gotcha. Is there any limitations for how you would run that business? Like, does, as a business owner, let's say you run a, you know, Santoro Electric company, do I need to be a journeyman? Do I need to be a master?
To run, to do your own electrical work, you have to be a master.
Okay.
Okay. So basically you're looking at roughly 9 years from the time that you start?
To be a master, you're 7 inches best. Yeah.
Okay. So then after the you're your master, you can start your own company and everything else. And so basically that's what happening is your masters are basically all turning into your own contractors.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And that's what's flooding. That's partly what's flooding the market.
Exactly. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And I mean, I know that Windsor Essex say they keep talking about us having a boom here, but you know, we do have a boom. There is a boom coming, but it's not here yet.
Yeah, not for a while.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, it's good. This is what I love about these shows. We learn something new every day. Because we were just talking, Sean and I, but because we keep hearing, oh, we need more. You know, we need more skilled trades. We need more skilled trades. We need more.
Literally, the last one we did.
The last interview we did, we were talking about needing more skilled trades.
See, the thing is, too, is unfortunately, St. Clair College and Women's Trades and everything is promoting electrical, electrical, electrical. We don't need electrical anymore here. We need, if you want to make, and I preach this really well when I work through all the home shows at the Windsor Family Credit Union. I'm the only one who's very direct and honest. And I tell all the kids, you want to be an electrician after these pathetic little school things that St. Clair College and Women's Trades putting in? I love Women's Trades. We work for them all the time, but St. Clair College for that 1-year course, they're demoralizing these kids because I get about 150 resumes a year. That's what, and they a year on average. And I'm like, what am I going to do with all these kids? So, and they all want to be electricians. They took the 1-year course at St. Clair. I tell them, you want to be an electrician, you got to move past Toronto. Or I can get you a job as electrician in Sault Ste. Marie right now. No problem.
Right.
Thunder Bay's got a couple of openings, I think.
All go to the places nobody else wants to go to, and you can get a job.
And then I tell them, you want to make $56 an hour? Go be a bricklayer in the Masonry Union in 5 years. Go be a plumber. You'll make more money as a plumber. Go do anything but electrical and HVAC right now. We're flooded with people.
Just drowned with it. Okay. Just drown. Well,
I didn't know that.
That's good, didn't it? A lot of that's what I said. I love doing these shows because we learn something new every day. Well, Mike, it's been great having you on and talking. You know, it's we've definitely learned a lot. A lot of heard some, you know, funny stories, some horrifying stories. I'm still picturing the crossbow, to be honest.
Look under your deck, people.
Yes.
Look under your deck.
Yeah, when you're buying a property, make sure you look everywhere.
Just a little like a flashlight.
But it's great having you on there, Mike, and I'm sure we'll have you on again to talk. Appreciate your time, and I definitely definitely appreciate what you do, you know, with your guys, with your business, and in the community. I know that you're big in the community. Love to have you back on just to talk about some of the extreme sports stuff you do, because I'm sure there'd be some fantastic stories there as well. So we're gonna, for today, this is Dave McCall. This is Sean Santoro. This is The Real Connection. Basically, you can find us on Spotify, Apple. We're on 18 different podcast stations. Tripped over that one. We're on YouTube. We're on Instagram. We're on LinkedIn. We're everywhere. So every Tuesday, 11 o'clock, come check us out. You can hear Mike, about more about Mike and some of his horrifying stories. And we're looking forward to seeing you, you know, you out at some of the local networking events, Mike.
Mike, before we jump off, where can people reach out to you if they've got some electrical questions, concerns, or maybe they've got a smell coming from underneath their deck, but they got to run some wire?
Well, we're quite well known on Google. We're known on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. We're going to be doing our own training and TikTok stuff as well with the business. We're really going to pump it this year, but we're very easy to find. And my number is unforgettable. 999 Mike. That's the best way to get a hold of
there you. Go.
I didn't even know that.
I love that. So this is Mike from DS Electric. This is Sean and Dave signing off, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks, Mike.